Oh, Father, thank you. As we've just been worshiping, thank you for the awesome ways of yours. How majestic are your ways. Your involvement with us is just beyond our words, beyond our abilities, beyond our hopes. It is so, so good. And so this morning we want to thank you that you are here. You are touching our lives. Jesus, it's such an honor for just being with you, and as you go around and you minister to each one of us, I'm imparting and just touching our lives in a unique and special way that is so beautiful, so full of life. And so we thank you for Holy Spirit, your impartation. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for your wind blowing. We thank you, Holy Spirit, as Jesus spoke there that time with his disciples, that you will not snuff out a wick, but you will bring it to life and flame again. And we know that that's what's happening this morning, Jesus, as you just blow and just by the Holy Spirit's breath, just resurrecting, bringing life, it'll not be snuffed out. And so we call forth in the name of Jesus, the fire burning within our hearts, the fire of God awakening within us, life and zeal and passion for Jesus Christ, ambition and heartbeat for Jesus, focus and just this burning love for Jesus, burning love for you, Father, burning love for you, Holy Spirit, as we just walk together with you to love the people, to love the nations, to see people come into this incredible, glorious love of yours. And this we thank you for your divine jealousy. Let it burn within us. And this we receive through your Son Jesus. Amen. Amen. I'm going to need to just recap a little bit for those that have been here for a while. Just so that we, but I'll use different scriptures today just to open it up a little bit more. Turn with me to John chapter 1. And I'm going to read verse 14 through to verse 18. And we're speaking here in the context of what we are busy sharing over the past few weeks is the incredible gift of righteousness that God has given to us, and the grace of God that reigns through, not our righteousness, it reigns through this gift, Christ's righteousness, how the grace of God reigns through this incredible righteousness. And because of the gift of righteousness, we have been justified, and now we are able to have access into this grace in which we now stand. And we're wanting to know, how do we stand in this grace of God? How do we live in the abundance of this incredible grace of God? And that's what we are busy looking at. So here John is writing and speaking about our Lord Jesus Christ. And he says over there, to all who receive Jesus, I'm just going back another verse here in verse 11. And he said, to all who receive Jesus, to him, to those who believed in his name. Again, we're speaking about this incredible gift of faith, this God persuasion that Christ is real. God became real to us. Jesus became real. It's not a religious faith we're talking about where it's knowing about him. This is knowing him. Okay? It's a different reality, this God faith. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right. I love that. To become children of God. Children born not of natural descent. Extremely important, because we've been taken out of the DNA of Adam. We're now in the DNA of Christ. We're now in Christ Jesus, and we are now children of God. Children not born of natural descent, nor of human decision. I love that. Or a husband's will, but born of God. That's who we are when we received our Lord Jesus. It was a mercy, it was the grace of God drawing us to himself, etc. And we get born again by the will of God. Now the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Very important as we look at our Lord Jesus over here. So John testifies concerning him, because the disciples, when they were with Jesus and they could see the glory of Jesus, it's manifesting in grace and truth. So John is summing up over here that this incredible glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. That there's something about the incredible manifest presence of God that is flowing through the reality of Jesus, because he's full of grace and truth. So John testifies concerning him, for he cries out saying, "This was he whom I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me. From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another." So there's something about this realm of grace that we have access into, and we are learning how to stand in it, how to live in it on a day-to-day basis. There's something about this fullness that we have entered into that releases one blessing after the other. It doesn't stop. God's fullness is not our little definition of fullness. You fill up your tank and fuel, it doesn't last. God's fullness is eternal, okay? From him, it's out of him that this grace, this fullness of grace is flowing. What does it mean? You see, how do we live in it? How do we understand this grace that we have through Jesus Christ? And then he says over here, "For the law came through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who at the Father's side has made him know." So we've been looking at the gift of righteousness. We've been looking at the law. And here we're going back, just using other scriptures here, that the law of God came through Moses. And when you go to Leviticus 16, Leviticus 19, Leviticus 20, when all in the context of the law, it's interesting that God speaks to Moses in about this whole law, that this whole law of Moses, and he says to them, "Let me sum up the law. Be holy as I am holy." That's my standard of righteousness. That is my perfection. Be holy as I am holy. So the law, the Ten Commandments and all the law that God gave to Moses to give to the people, and how to live separately, because they were not like the other nations, they were called to be a holy people. Now, all the law was to let the nation see the reality of the holiness of God Almighty. And so we know, Jesus sums it up another way in Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus is speaking about the Beatitudes, etc. And then he carries on and he starts to speak about the law. And he says to the guys, this is the law says that if you murder, this is, but let me tell you a higher perfection. Even if you think murder in your heart, you are guilty, you've broken the law. See, so he goes through, if you commit adultery, this is it, but let me tell you, that's what the law says, let me tell you a higher law. You see, that even if you look lustfully at another person, you've committed adultery. And then Jesus carries on and he says to the people listening to him, he says, "Unless your righteousness is greater than the righteousness of the Pharisees, you're not going to see the kingdom, you're not going to enter the kingdom of God." So here Jesus is showing them, listen, the law that the Pharisees are living, what Moses gave, man, look at them. They think they are all the examples of so-called righteousness and holiness, but they fall short. and he sums up and Jesus says to the guys, listen, be perfect just as my Father, just as your Heavenly Father is perfect. So Jesus sums up the reality of what righteousness is all about. God's perfection in all his ways of thinking, in all his doings, in all his actions, totally perfect all the time. So the standard of righteousness is God's standard. It's his incredible perfection. It's his ways. And so we know here we come, and we know, as we've been speaking in the last few weeks, that all of us are guilty of breaking the law. We've lied, we've stolen, we've committed adultery, we have murdered, we name it, we've done it all. We've honored and worshipped other gods, you name it. We're all guilty. No matter how we disguise it in our goodness, in our good deeds, we're all guilty of that. And so we know that the law really does just make us very conscious of that we cannot measure up to God's perfection. We need something else. We need the act of God. This is where grace is so good now. Because now we see that now, grace and truth comes through Jesus Christ. And so we, as we looked at in the previous days, we were seeing there that now Jesus comes. And when the angel spoke to Mary and said to Mary, you're going to conceive a son. You're going to name him Jesus because he'll save the people of their sin. And she said, how can this be? And what took place? The angel said, you will be conceived by the Holy Spirit, and the child to be born will be holy, the Son of God. Be perfect, be holy, because I am holy. Jesus, holy, because his Father is holy. Jesus is perfect because his Father is perfect. He is the Son of God. So here we see God in our condition, with the grace of God, his involvement. Remember, the bigger picture of grace is God leaning forwards, and he is doing things that we could not do. His involvement in our lives. So here we see Jesus living a life in total perfection, in all his thinking and all his actions and all his behavior. When he was growing up as a teenager, totally perfect in his relationship with his parents. Hey? Because we could not have been perfect. We could not honor our parents as Jesus did it for us. See, that's why in Christ he broke the curse of the law, and we entered into the reality of the incredible gift of righteousness. So Jesus lived throughout his life, in all his thinking, in all his actions, in all his behaviors and involvement, his interaction with all, totally God's standard of perfection, because we could not have done that. And so that day came when Christ, who had no sin, became sin for us, so that now by faith we could now become the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21 and 23. So now we see the reality of what Christ has done for us. So when we had that moment when the Holy Spirit, see, it's the Father who draws us into fellowship with his Son Jesus. So as the Father was drawing us into fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ, and wow, we had that encounter when God became real to us. And as we believed, because of the gift of faith that was birthed within us to believe, what took place? God then credited us. God then gave to you and I his Son's righteousness, the Father's righteousness, as a gift. And we received the gift of righteousness. And that's why when Paul writes in Romans 1, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation. Because in this incredible gospel, this good news of God concerning his Son Jesus Christ, God's righteousness is revealed. Righteousness, grace, and truth came through Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And that's why it's so crucial for us to understand in Romans 5 that journey before we enter into the realm of this incredible grace. There's the gift of righteousness. There's the faith that is all being given to us. And as a result, we now move into that place of grace. So we received Christ's perfection. And our Father, because we have received Christ's perfection, our Father now, his involvement, and this is where grace is, his involvement in our lives, grace is empowering us. Grace is empowering us to be able to live in the reality of Christ's righteousness. Grace is empowering us. It's God's power. It's God's ability. It's God's working within us that's enabling us to not have sin ruling over our lives. To not have death ruling over our lives. This is all part of the grace of God. To give a definition of the grace, one of the professors that's been lecturing, I think it's about 20 years on grace with these at the university that he lectures in the States. And he said after 20 years, he cannot write a definition of God's grace. There's no word, it's too big. You look from Genesis right through to Revelation, you see God's involvement manifesting in so many different ways. And that's the reality of grace. As we walk in grace, we experience more and more the involvement of our Heavenly Father, the power of His love, the power of His involvement working in our lives. And we say, wow, this is grace now. And then, wow, this is grace. This is grace. And all the time, it's all about our incredible goodness of God, His incredible involvement in our lives, because we could not do it through His Son, Jesus Christ. So that's where we've been for a while, just looking at those things over there. Now, quickly in the Old Testament, just to Jeremiah chapter 23, I want you just to see the promise of the of this new covenant that the prophets were busy prophesying years ago. In Jeremiah 23, in verse 5 and 6, this is about Jesus being our righteousness. And he goes on and he says, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up to David a righteous branch, king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteousness." He is our righteousness. And being in a relationship now, He is our righteousness, and that's why we have become the righteousness of God. In chapter 33, again in Jeremiah chapter 33. So we understand the new covenant, this righteousness as a gift is our reality. And so here again, there's a promise of restoration. In verse 15, we read over here, "In those days, and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety." Again, this is the name by which it will be called, the Lord, our righteousness. It's repeated many times in this incredible promise of a new covenant. Now, in Romans 5, let's go to Romans 5 quickly. We've been looking at, because we've received, in verse 1, therefore. So again, we say, why is the word therefore there? It's because it's dealing with something that Paul was speaking about before he carries on. So because of something that has taken place, this is the result. This is the consequence of what has taken place. Because the righteousness of God was revealed in the sharing of the gospel, the power of the gospel, the reality of Jesus Christ, and the faith was imparted into us, and we believed, we received the gift of righteousness. What took place? Because of all of that, we have been justified. Okay? That's in Romans chapter 4. "Then therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand." And so this is where we left off last Sunday, in just really just spending a little bit more time in going through that process. So we noticed last week that to be justified, to be declared not guilty, we cannot do it on our own good works. We needed the gift of Christ's perfection. Okay? We received Jesus, we believed, we are now credited His righteousness. Because of that righteousness and by faith, we have now been declared not guilty by God Almighty, the judge of all judges. So we've been declared not guilty. As a result of that, it's not the faith that comes from a religion that allows us to enter into this place of incredible grace. So it's not about knowing about Jesus, knowing about God, knowing about the Bible stories, knowing about the parables. That's not going to get us into living in this grace. Okay? It's about knowing Him personally. Remember what Jesus said, this is eternal life, that you may know intimately the true Father and the true Son, Jesus Christ. This is eternal life. So here we're speaking about this incredible faith that enables us to have a relationship, knowing the Father, knowing the Son intimately, communicating, Him speaking to us. There's this love for Him, His love for us. He's real. It's no longer just a knowledge about Him. So it's this faith that's a gift from God. It's because of this faith we have been justified and we have peace. And we looked at that last week. We have peace because we've been justified, because we've been reconciled. There's no longer this battle. We can have access. We can have fellowship with God. It's part of the Sabbath rest that we're looking at over here. Through whom we have gained access by faith. Again, it's by this gift of God, this God faith, that we have access into this grace, into this incredible involvement of our Heavenly Father through His Son Jesus. So when Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to me except through me. No one comes to my Father except through my Son, through Jesus. So now we know that for you and I to be able to live in the fullness of this incredible grace, Jesus says, no one comes to the Father. So for us to be able to live in the reality of this grace of God that we're speaking about here, it's through Jesus. Grace and truth come through Jesus. And it's through Him we now begin to have access. We now begin to enjoy this incredible involvement of the Father. God's so involved in our lives as His children. We have been given the right to be His children. God so loved us that He lavished His love over our lives and made us His children. And that's who we are. So now we're beginning to understand why we battle to know the love of God, while we battle to experience the reality when God says that His grace, His involvement, His activity in our lives reigns through righteousness, all through Jesus Christ. So when we begin to move away from that intimacy with our Lord Jesus, and we start to drift away from being established in Jesus and going into our own human efforts, we now are experiencing, but somehow grace is not reigning through the gift of righteousness. I'm on my own. So I'm not experiencing the involvement of God, the life of Holy Spirit, the power of Holy Spirit, the grace. When the grace God says to Paul, listen guy, this thorn over there, you don't understand what's taking place. It's something far bigger. It's something that's going to benefit everybody at the end of the day. But as you're asking it to be removed, I'm not going to remove it because it's a bigger picture. All things are working out for the good for those who love you, love me. But I'm giving you my grace. So in your weaknesses, in your trials, in your difficulties, there is a grace from Father through Jesus. Approach the throne of grace through Jesus Christ. He is our mediator. So through Jesus, now the Father's power, now grace. What's happening in grace is power. It's God's ability. It's God leaning forwards, helping Paul in his weakness, helping Paul in his struggle. And God's incredible involvement in Paul's life was sufficient for him to be able to get through any trial and be able to walk in victory. All things work out for the good for those who love Him. Because now I'm living in the involvement of my Father's power, enabling me to be able to go through. So that thorn in the flesh is no longer an issue. It's there, but that's not my focus. Because Father, your grace, your involvement in my life is made perfect in my weakness. So here's the truth. Because how do we live? How do we live in the reality of this grace? How do we live our daily lives in God's involvement? And that's what we want to look at a little bit more before we go into that, a few more scriptures. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I'll read there from verse 3. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. See, here again, just to stop over there, here again, like I'm doing this morning, I'm from within, I'm releasing grace. Some will receive, some will not. Those who receive will find, well, God's doing something. Those who do not receive will walk out and say, hmm. And that's what, on all the beginning of the letters, they would see grace and peace. It's not just a greeting from the Hebrew side. There's a powerful truth that God is releasing into the congregation, into the believer's life. So those now that there's an empowering of God, there's God's involvement, it's been released, and the people have said, yes, we want it, to help them to be able to understand the revelation that Paul's about to share and write into their lives. To help them to be able to receive it, to help them to be able to be established in it, to help them to be able to live in the reality of this revelation that God gave to Paul to be able to communicate to the congregation. All God's involvement by the Holy Spirit. See, and so then he carries on. I always thank God for you because of his grace given to you in Christ Jesus. For in Jesus Christ, in him, you have been enriched in every way. We need to say to ourselves, in every way we have been enriched in Christ Jesus. In every way. Can we say that with a thorn in our flesh? Can we say that when we are grieving, when we are in persecution? Can we say these things? Simply because we do not yet know how to live in the abundant grace of God. We know how to live in our own emotions. We know how to live in our own abilities. We know how to live in our own so-called cleverness and our own wisdom. But that doesn't help. You see, we know how to live in what can we say? We don't know how to live in Christ's ability. We don't know how to live in God's ability. And that's the core. That's the invitation. That's the Holy Spirit showing us, let's step into more grace. Abundant grace. Enriched grace. All the time. Moving more and more and more as we journey with God. So he says over here, in him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and in all your knowledge. Because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, you do not lack any gift. You could say, therefore, you do not lack any grace. Because you have been enriched in every way in Christ Jesus. This grace of God has enriched us in every single way of our lives. Therefore, we did not lack any of God's grace if we are in Christ Jesus. We can step out of it as we see then Galatians chapter 3 and chapter 5 and chapter 2. It's full of that. So he carries on and he says it, therefore you do not lack any, some translations say spiritual gift, but that word spiritual is not in the original. It's therefore you do not lack any gift. So it is a big thing. Yeah, it comes by the Holy Spirit. That's why they put spiritual in there. So it's not just the spiritual gifts that we speak about in chapter 12. Because some people would think they're speaking about those spiritual gifts only. No, in every way. And then carries on over here. He will keep you. Look at this. He will keep you strong. Grace. He will keep us strong. To the end. I like that. So that we will be blameless because of a gift of righteousness. We are in Him. He is our righteousness, and grace enables us to stay in the reality of the righteousness as a gift. And any time that we are moving out of that, God's grace is involved in our lives, and we will get a bit of a hiding. Because He disciplines those that He loves. Because He wants us to remain in the grace that comes through Jesus Christ. We need to understand that, because a lot of things happen in our lives simply because we've moved out of grace. We've moved into our own intelligence. We've moved into our own willpower, our own stubbornness. We've moved into our own ability, our own what we think is to be the best, and whatever, all of that stuff. We've stepped out of grace. And that there, come back into grace. Come back into grace. Your destiny, to be able to live out your destiny, the purpose of God, you need grace, because God's grace empowers us to be able to live out His purpose for our lives. That's the grace of God. So we see the reality of this here. You'll be blameless on the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with His Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. That's profound. So here again, you see the incredible involvement of God in our lives. The faithfulness of God. His grace involved in helping us to be able to live as His children. And Paul writes there, and that's why we use in Galatians. Let's go to Galatians 2 quickly. There's so many, I can spend hours and hours just sharing with you this amazing gift that we have. And I hope that you will just, wow, fall in love with God and what He has done for us. See, Paul writes about the reality of being justified by faith. This is in Galatians 2, and you can read there from 15 onwards. But I'm reading here from, to have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ, not by observing the law, because by observing the law, no one will be justified. And it carries on about that, the reality of this incredible thing. And then Paul writes this famous scripture over here: for through the law I died to the law. Because the law exposed the sinfulness of Paul, and he realized, whoa, the wages of sin is death. So when I see the law and I can't live the law, I've realized I've died. I need help. Okay. I have been, and then he carries on, so that I might live for God. So he died to practicing the law. He's not involved in trying to practice the law anymore, because now that's dead to him. When Christ died, he died with Christ Jesus. So that now in Christ's resurrection into this new life, he now lives in the reality of Christ's incredible life. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God. That's how we stay in grace. My day-to-day life, I live by faith in the Son of God. Faith, grace comes through Jesus. By bypassing Jesus in my day-to-day life, I'm bypassing the effect of God's grace in my life. I'm not experiencing the power. I'm not experiencing the resurrection life. I'm not experiencing the life of Holy Spirit within me. It's simply because I'm bypassing Jesus. I'm going back into my own ability. I'm not dependent on Him anymore. And he carries on over there. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I do not. This is a choice that you and I have. I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. So that's part of our daily walk now. How do we not set aside the grace of God in our lives? How do we not set aside the life of Jesus, the law of Holy Spirit, Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. How do I not set aside the Holy Spirit testifying to my spirit, Abba Father? How do I not set aside that? How do I not set aside the reality that I'm a child of God? I'm secure in His love. How do I not set aside that reality, that knowing, that relationship with God, knowing that all things work out for the good? The moment I start to set aside Jesus and going back into my own ability, I've set aside the life of Jesus Christ. I've gone back into my life, my ability. So, let's have a look. Maybe I should conclude quickly. Let's go to James. Now let's go to Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. Here, Peter is writing to the family of God, and he says to, let me read from verse 5. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. I have to say that one. He's speaking about, and he carries on and he says over here, all of you, clothe yourself with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. And that's the key, faith and humility. Faith in Jesus. The life we live by faith, so we have not set aside the grace of God. Humility is our total dependence on God in our day-to-day lives. So here we notice over here that God opposes the proud, and that's why when I'm arrogant and I can do it my way, etc., I find the opposing hand of God in my life. And that opposing hand of God is just like Him trying to stop us, that's His grace, trying to stop us from walking in that stupidity of pride, because there's a downfall and there's no victory. Now you're open target for the enemy to take us out. And so that's the involvement of God. So He's opposing us is part of the grace of God. His involvement to help us to, like that donkey that had to speak to prophet. Then He says over here, humble yourselves therefore under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up. So in the humility of depending on God, God's incredible now grace comes and He lifts us up in due time. May not be now, in due time, because there's something that He's doing. Cast all your anxiety on Him. That's one of the evidences that we're not living in the grace. Because now we're so anxious about everything. We're bypassing Jesus. We're bypassing that we have been enriched in every way. We're bypassing that this grace, we lack nothing. We're bypassing God's involvement, who He is. We're not living by faith anymore. We're living out of faith, missing out from grace coming through Jesus Christ that we receive by faith. Can you see why this gift of faith? Guys, we need to value this faith that God has given to us. It is such an incredible love gift to us to be able to live in the reality of all that our Heavenly Father, who He is, and what He has done and given to us through His Son Jesus. Religious faith keeps you out of all of that. Sad, but that's the reality. No matter what religion, the only way is to be able to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, to know the Father, to be able to live in this fullness of grace. Before we save, this God's grace is involved in drawing us, keeping us safe, etc., etc., but to live in the reality of knowing this grace is through Jesus Christ, as we are born again. And then He says over here, let me just go back to over here. Cast all your anxiety on, because He cares for you. Now look at this one. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. Remember Romans 5. By faith, we've been justified by faith. We have peace with God. Now, because of this incredible faith, we now have access into grace in which we now stand. When Paul speaks about the warfare, the spiritual warfare, he says, guys, stand in Christ Jesus. Because in Christ Jesus, grace operates. In Christ Jesus, you lack nothing. In Christ Jesus, the fullness of my grace is being released in your warfare. Stand. So now, in the context, yeah, of the enemy prowling, in the context of the enemy wanting to devour, in the context of all of this, Peter writes over there, resist him, standing firm in the faith. And then he carries on there. And look at the verse 10. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. This grace is a beautiful gift from God, eh? And this is something, because we're dealing with warfare, and we speak about the teachings of years ago about spiritual warfare, but God's showing us something about the reality of being in His grace and experiencing grace, standing firm in grace. God's incredible, because that's what the armor is. It's Christ. We clothed with Jesus, clothed with His righteousness. We clothed with Jesus Christ. And now to begin to experience the fullness of our King Jesus dealing with, and that's why we can resist the enemy and he will flee. That's why we can stand firm in faith. And even after the struggles and the battles, God himself now, because of grace through his son Jesus, will make us strong to the very end. Our awesome Father. This is the day-to-day life for you and I now. And this is a grace being released to help us to be able to live daily in the reality of living in the grace of God. So faith, God is stirring faith, he's blowing and he's opening up and he's just bringing life to the gift he put in you years back. So there's faith rising up again. There's faith in us now to be able to thank you that this gift of righteousness that you've given to us through your son Jesus, it now enables me to be able to live a day-to-day life with your full involvement. Your power, your ability, your wisdom, your insight, your foreknowledge, your understanding of all things, your sovereignty, to live in the fullness of who you are, Father. I can now live in that. And I step into that, but I want to stand. I want to remain in this grace. So a good practice will be, when you begin a day, God, I'm dependent on you. Today I'm dependent on you to be able to live a life that brings you honor and glory. I need your grace. I need your involvement in my life. I need you. And as we learn to practice that total dependence, that's what this humility is. Total dependence, the reliance on God's ability. His life within me, because it's no longer I who live. So I'm saying to myself, I'm not dependent on me living. Now I've surrendered that, God. I'm dependent on the life of Christ within me so that I live today by faith in Him. His ability, His victory, His wisdom, His understanding. We can go forwards with Him. And I'm sharing this because if anybody thinks next year will be better and the country will be better for the world, you're fooled. We need to know how to live in grace so that we can reign, so that we can experience God's involvement in our lives and shine in the dark world. We have a Father that's involved with us through Jesus Christ. So grace and truth come through Jesus. All of us who believe by faith and live day to day life in Jesus, we experience grace. And I love one of the translations where it speaks about the abundant grace that we have over here. Let me read that over there. In 2 Peter chapter 1. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. How? Through the knowledge, the intimate reality of God and of Jesus Christ. And then he says, His divine power, that's His grace, has given us everything we need for life and godliness through us knowing Him, who's called us by His own glory and goodness. Powerful. This grace of God enables us to participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Amen. To see God touch families, to see God's involvement in breakthroughs in families and your destinies of families, to see breakthrough in our communities, in the schools, in this nation. We are so privileged to be able to live in grace and to be able to pray over a nation, understanding the reality of God's grace over a nation. God Himself, who draws us, who calls us into relationship, into fellowship with His Son Jesus. Imagine now if we have faith and we can believe God. We just thank You for Your grace over South Africa, because You now drawing people into fellowship with Your Son Jesus Christ. Grace for salvation. Hey? Grace, God's destiny for a nation. It's all in Jesus, not in cleverness. Not in cleverness. It's in Jesus to set tribes, to set nations, to set different languages and race groups free from being captured by darkness and into the incredible inheritance that's in Jesus Christ. It's the grace, the power of Jesus. Nothing more. The power of Jesus, what He has done. Let us live for this nation. Let us live in the reality of participating in this grace of God, because we are walking, we are standing firm in grace. Let us not be influenced by the YouTube stuff that says this and that and get out of grace and get into stress and trauma and all that kind of stuff. We stepped out of grace. We stepped into unbelief. We need to stay that we have been enriched in every way. Stand firm in the grace of God, that we can stand and be an answer to a nation. See, we must be established in this now. So, Father, let by the Holy Spirit work so powerfully that what You have imparted into us today will take root and bear much fruit. Father, when the enemy wants to come now to try and steal the message of the kingdom, because we're in grace, we resist that enemy in Jesus' name. This is a time where you as believers, you need to make a stand and resist the enemy yourself. It wants to steal and rob and bring all kinds of thoughts into your mind. Resist the enemy in the name of Jesus. What a joy to be able to stand in grace. And I'm asking now, Father, that by Your Holy Spirit, as I've said, let this, as we go through all day to day distractions and day to day this and day to day that try to distract and to try and smother and try and strangle the truth about Your divine involvement, this grace that so powerfully works within us. At that moment, Father, we ask Holy Spirit to just speak so loud and clear that we will say, wow, I've been sidetracked over here. And that quickly we will come to our senses and take hold and renew our minds, renew our attitudes, renew our behavior, everything that we're doing, and let it get established in the reality, Father, of Your incredible involvement, Your power, Your ability in our lives. So we thank You, Lord Jesus, as we have communion this morning. What a joy to be able to partake in Your grace, to be able to partake in Your righteousness, to be able to partake in the faith that is in You that You've imparted into us, to be able to partake in our incredible destiny to see this nation become an answer to your prayer to be inheritance of the Father, to be your inheritance. What a joy, Jesus, as we spend time with you this morning, to be able to just sit still and say, Lord, my heart is broken. Come and blow. Come and heal. The wick is nearly out. The flame's nearly out. Come and blow and bring life to us. I need you. I need you. See, this is where the grace comes, because of a humble heart, to acknowledge your need, to receive his need. Maybe your mind is so trapped. Maybe the mind is so caught up. Maybe the mind is so focused on the past and the guilt and condemnation and all that rubbish stuff, because you've died with Christ. Why do you carry it on? Please, your mind's been crucified with Jesus. You have the mind of Christ. It's because we're not living in grace. We're living in our own abilities. We need the power of God to be able to renew our minds. Grace empowers us to have a new mind. Grace empowers us to be set free from the dominion of sin. Grace empowers us to be set free from being trapped and to be able to step into our divine calling and purpose and to live a life of fullness in Jesus. So Jesus, as we drink and eat and partake with you, we receive your incredible, awesome ministry in our lives. And we honor you and thank you so much, Lord. Amen. Amen.